I'm Christy. I used to smoke cigarettes. I had smoker's cough and severe shortness of breath, and I knew I had to quit. Then I tried e-cigarettes, but I just ended up using both. I really didn't start to get better until I quit smoking completely. My tip to you is, just cutting down on the number of cigarettes you smoke isn't enough.
Smoking even a few cigarettes a day is dangerous. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Welcome to Uncuffed Radio with Caprice Smith. Join in weekly as this life and business coach, author, and mentor shares practical tools that will help you change your thinking and change your life. In her latest novel, Uncuffed Behind My Smile, Caprice tells her own gripping story of survival and triumph. Those life experiences led this 20-year police detective to start her own organization to combat domestic violence and teach families about their inner power. Her unique engagement style helps all, especially women, to find their voices as they discover and pursue their purpose. A highly sought-after motivational speaker and people enthusiast, listen now as Caprice Smith shares techniques for how you, too, can live your life uncuffed.
And good morning. This is Caprice Smith, your uncuffed living expert. In fact, I'm the only uncuffed living expert in the entire world. And reminding you guys that if you're tuned in today, you're here because you feel like you follow that recipe in life. You've tried to manage your lifestyles, your families, your businesses, and on the side, even also trying to build your legacy and your dreams and do things for you. You're in the right place. We're going to help you map out strategies that are going to help you not just live uncuffed, but run businesses uncuffed. In addition, if you feel like, you know, you're presenting one version of yourself to the world, but behind closed doors or those times when your friend is not available or your spouse can't really listen to you, you find yourself wallowing in a place where you're whining about the things that aren't going right or you're feeling sad about things that could be different. You're in the right place because on Uncuffed Radio, we give you ideas and recipes that have been very successful for myself and for my guests. And we speak to you on a number of different levels. We're multidimensional is what I like to think of. And remember, ladies, don't judge yourself. Don't judge others. Just step into your full, all-encompassing, balanced life where you're soaring through the air, you're flying planes like I did, and you're releasing anything that's holding you back from being who you were called to be. We were all meant to be great, and we can all walk into it. We're going to help you get yourself ready for your next level. You're going to hear about all of the exciting events that I have coming up and I'm going to attend. You will also hear from Deb Coleman. I'll tell you a little bit about her, and I'll bring her on in a few. She's going to educate us today on about writing and editing and what that means for your business. Now, Deb, to give you a little bit of a background, her expertise is really helping women in business and entrepreneurs and people just like you who are listening to this show. We love you guys. We know your time is so valuable. So it's Saturday morning when you're getting up at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and you're spending that hour with us. We really appreciate it because we know you could be doing laundry, you could be out jogging, you could be riding the bike, but we love that you show up consistently because we also understand the value in perfecting your craft. And remember, at Uncuffed Radio on the Maybe Help You Radio Network, there's several ways that you can listen to us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk. You can download the app right from MWHYradio.com. And there's really no reason why you can't get this good uncuffed living information all the time. And just I tend to try to tell my clients and listeners, replace this show with anything else that's kind of pouring into your inner ear and telling you that you can't. I'm going to tell you all the time that you can, but outside of motivation, I'm going to teach you how to do it. So now let's get today's guest in because she is so knowledgeable. I want to really maximize on her time, and I'm so excited to have her. And if I'm not mistaken, you're coming in from New York, but guys, please help me welcome the awesome Deb Coleman that's going to educate us about writing and making it a business. Hello, ma'am. How are you?
I'm great, Caprice. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm wrapped up, and I haven't even had my coffee yet. It's coming, though. It's coming. So that's why I'm getting excited about the coffee that's coming. Yeah, so tell the listeners who you are, a little bit about your background.
All right, sure. I am calling in from Syracuse, New York, Central New York, and I am a writer, editor, and a coach who helps people get their message out into the world in a polished and professional way. I work with entrepreneurs, business coaches, published authors, energy workers, really just about anyone who's working on getting their writing out into the world.
Nice, nice. Now, this has been the thing that you've done for a very long time. Did you fall into it, or how did you become aware of your expertise?
Well, actually, like most of us, our lives just twist and turn a little bit, and it's so important to be flexible. I started my working career in community mental health many years ago and worked as a counselor with adults with mental illness and then became a manager running the programs that provided housing and services for those people. And I did a lot of writing. That was really my introduction to writing for business, really, as well as working with people and developing counseling skills and communication skills. And then I had my family, and after my youngest went off to kindergarten, I began teaching at his inclusive preschool, which I now direct part-time, and that gave me some room to pursue the writing, which I really love. And I'm an asker, so I asked someone I knew with a PR business a few years back if they needed any help with their writing. And that's one message I would want people to always remember, that it's important to ask. I mean, a lot doesn't always fall into our laps, but if we ask people, if we look for opportunities, often the answer can be yes, and that's how it was for me. And I worked with as a consultant for a while until this person decided to do something different, and I realized I wanted to continue to do that. So that was my call to figure out how to develop my own business so that I could do what I enjoyed doing and to share, you know, my expertise with other people. And that's how DebColeman.com came to be.
I'm loving it. And I'm loving it because not one time did I hear you say, oh, and then I waited for this invitation. Oh, and then I waited for someone to see how good I was at it. It sounds like you kicked a lot of doors in, down, broke them down, carried them away.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is my place, and you're not getting rid of me. I love that. Now, it's so interesting. You said in a polished and professional way, because social media has made it so easy for everyone to have a platform, because everyone's like the expert at what they do now, right? Everyone has a thought, and because it's such a profound thought, you know, now people should come to them for that thought. So I love that you're saying, hey, slow down. Mm-hmm. Let's make it professional. That's so, you know, uber important. So speak on that a little bit about, first of all, I know there's been a paradigm shift, and I'm pretty sure you would agree that people have kind of even gotten away from very basic standards. I personally type really fast on social media, and I'll go back and read them thinking, oh, man, thank God for that edit button. So now how, like, speak to the listeners out there who they're kind of hiding behind that, oh, it's not perfect. What are some things they can do to make themselves feel better and more prideful about their work?
Yes, sure, I'd love to. You're right, and online entrepreneurship has really changed the landscape of business. Social media has also added a very important and different element, and there's a lot more forgiveness in social media, and that's okay, that I think there is some expectation that it might be a little less polished, that it's a little more personal, and that works. But in certain areas, I feel, in your website, in your training content, in the materials that you put out that relate back to your business, the more polished and professional it looks, the more it establishes yourself and your business as an expert or someone that takes the time to make sure that things go out looking as well as they can look. And what I find in the online world is it's really important to remember that people have almost unlimited opportunities. And they can click in a moment's notice if they're not feeling that you might not be as professional as the next person. So it's really important to use our words online in particular to get our message out, because that's often all that people see. You have your radio show. A lot of people use that or use video. But for many, it's just the written word. So that's their introduction to you. And if it's not looking as good as it can be, they may just click away and go on to the next one in their Google search or that they've heard about or they see online. So some of the things I work with people on doing is, as you said, taking their time, thinking about what their message is, not always rushing, especially if you're writing a blog or writing material to put on your website, to take your time to really think about your message, to keep your message short and concise and to the point. People don't have a whole lot of time to read when they're online. They usually want to get the message and move on to action. So it's important to remember that as you're writing your pieces. And then there are a lot of little tips that you can do to get yourself ready to write before you do, to establish your writing practices, to go back and edit your own work, and we can talk about those if you're interested.
Absolutely. I'm taking notes. Absolutely interested.
Okay. One of the first things I help my clients think about is the why they're writing, and often that relates back to their big why of why they do their business. So what's their purpose? Who are they trying to reach? And what is it they want to be telling them? And even though we think we probably know that, sometimes it's important to actually write it down, to really spend some time thinking, boil it down to what's the main thing you want to convey. And do the same thing when you're working on a particular piece, an article or a section of your website or training materials or a speech you're going to give. What's the main points that you want to convey to people? And then to think about who those people are, who that target audience is. And sometimes I suggest even picturing who that person is sitting across the computer screen from you almost. And then to write as if you're talking to them. People really respond to conversational writing that's in your own voice. That's the way you might talk to them if you were right there in the room with them. Sometimes as writers, we really struggle to think about the words we want to use or make it sound a certain way. And the more we do that, the more we're probably moving away from what our natural voice is. So I suggest to people not to worry too much about the words in the beginning, to really focus on getting the message out. And they can do some things to set the stage for their writing before they even pick up a pen.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I'll give you a chance to get to that in a minute before you pick up the pen piece. But that authentic voice that stops, I guess, trying to say it how, Oprah may say it and just say it in your own voice. I love that. And in business, what we do is we model behavior, right? And I talk about this a lot with my clients. We model behavior, and because we think it made that other person so successful, it's going to work exactly the same way for us, and it usually does not. So I think that's so important, being authentic. Okay, I'm going back to my notes. You have the floor.
Okay. Well, exactly like you said in your introduction, how your listeners are encouraged to find their own way in business and in life. It's the same way in online businesses and in your writing, to find your own way. And as you said, we do like to model others, and we certainly can learn from other people, but it is important to still keep it our own. That's who people want to work with. They want to get to know you. You know, we want to see your picture online so we can make a visual kind of connection with you. We want the writing to be yours, and it can continue to be yours even if you hire a writer or an editor or your staff to actually help with some of the pieces. You still need to do some kind of writing, even if it's just to give to someone else to help polish, and that's where you get in touch with your voice. And I suggest people finding, really thinking about those conditions before they sit down to write. The biggest one being some people have a real kind of mental block about writing, or they believe that they're not a very good writer. It might go back to when they were in school, or they just never liked it, or don't find the value in it. And I start with people by reminding them that we're all writers. I mean, every last one of us is a writer. We may write to different skill levels, but that can always improve and get better with practice and with help. So it's important to start from a positive place of, you know, the I can do this, I can write this, I can write this piece to help my business, or I can write this training packet to serve my clients better, and to get yourself in a positive mindset for the start. And then to do things that make it easier to get the words flowing. So to think about the time of day that you like to write and where you like to write, to be comfortable in the clothing that you're wearing, things like the temperature of the room, the lighting, the getting rid of all distractions, and to really focus on all of those things. And some of us are quick to think, well, we have to write, I better just sit down and do it right now. But I encourage people to take a step back and look at all those pieces that they can control to set the stage to make it easier to write when they sit down and do it.
And well, then, Deborah, you know, it's so interesting. You're giving these steps, and I feel like I'm going on a date. I feel like I need to. I love it. Look, at this day and age, people put less preparation into their actual social, you know, their dating life. So I love you. I love it. You're slowing us down. You're taking us back. You're making us think about it. Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. You can continue.
Oh, that's quite all right. I just think it's important for people to do those things that are in their control. So like anything else, don't we want the most optimal conditions? Especially if it's something we find that is a little difficult or we don't love, then let's make it as good as it can be. You know, have a comfortable thing that you like to drink near you, a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Think about where you are. Sometimes I suggest if it's not working inside and the weather's nice, to head outside to write. I mean, really be willing to try a bunch of different things, which is the other important message is, we're all changing all the time. So if something always works for you and now it's not, it might be time to try something new and to be okay with that and experiment and be flexible. And then when you actually sit down to write, think about that purpose again for the piece and who you're writing to. Sometimes you might want to even write it up at the top of your paper or write it at the top of your, type it in at your computer screen to remind yourself, that's what my message is. And this is different than the title. Some people like to write the title first. I like to write it last. I feel that writing it first for me makes it a little too constricting. And that sometimes as you're writing, you're going to stumble upon something you really love and a phrase or a sentence, and you want that to be your title now. So I often suggest people just focus on your writing getting out there. Don't worry about the words that much. Don't struggle to find the right word. Just let the writing flow as much as you can. And then you can, there's plenty of time to come back and edit after. It's much easier to edit when you feel you've gotten all the words out in front of you. And then you can go back and change them and improve them and replace them. But if you do that or try to do that when you're writing, it's an easy way to get yourself to stop and start and stop and start. And it really makes it choppy, and you might lose your train of thought. So I encourage people, again, to just keep those writing conditions optimal, too, that are focused on the writing and not the editing.
I love that. And what's so interesting is you said don't worry so much about the title. And I want your professional opinion and expertise in this step. I find that a lot of women, especially in business, they're so eager to get that thing that shows the world that, see, I am doing something amazing, that they jump the gun and they want to share that title or they want to share that they're writing a book. But then they put so much pressure on themselves to complete the project, and that's when you start to have those inauthentic voices come up or those writer blocks. So you are giving us a perspective that is very unusual because you're saying the complete opposite, and that's to really think about everything right down to the timing of your title. That how crucial is it? Because I know that you made it seem like it was still an option. So what is it? What's more important for you to have that title at the beginning or the end, or what's more important, like writing the information first, then thinking about the title? How crucial is that to the writing?
I think like everything else, it is personal, and there are going to be a lot of people who probably say they really like to write the title first, that for them, maybe it does frame their thoughts, maybe it helps keep them focused, and maybe they're just sure that they want to write on that topic and they know what that title is. But for those of us who maybe write a little more freely, it's okay to have that title idea. But for me, I can spend a whole lot of time getting stuck on the title. And now I'm not even doing my writing that I set out to do. So for me, I prefer to say, you know, I'm just going to come back to that. Titles are important, too. And also, depending on if you want to be found on, like, for instance, in Google searches or with your blogs, it's important to think about keeping that message, your title, number of words, concise and clear. And I do like to use humor, though it is often suggested to be careful that it's not too cute or too humorous, because people might not then know what it is you're talking about. So put some thought into your title, and if you want, you can do that at the beginning, but I find I'd rather set the stage for writing and get writing as soon as I can versus getting hung up on the title wording. So I definitely like to do it at the end.
That's great information. And it really, because it is so subjective, the things that you talked about, sitting down, setting the mood, understanding your why, they become even more important. So we're not letting you go, Deb. I know that I have you for a little bit, so run away. But we have to give some credit to people who enable us to have great shows like Uncuffed Radio. On the Maybe Help You Radio Network, we do rely on our sponsors to help us bring you the show, our magazine, and also our upcoming Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise RVA Expo. And we want to mention it because here at this, what we're calling a complete mall takeover, we are expecting entrepreneurs, families, teams, and we want you guys to come out and check out some of the resources, the live entertainment. You get to meet all of the DJs, but more importantly, you learn how to be successful in your business. You're going to be entertained. It is a completely free event. And get this, over 10,000 attendees are expected to be there. You do not want to miss this event. It's on September the 12th. It happens from 10 to 6. It's at the Chesterfield Town Center Mall. And you can get all the information at healthywealthywiserva.eventbrite.com. And we hope that you will consider being a sponsor. There's some sponsor spaces. One of our entrepreneurs that will be showcased and, of course, interviewed by one of our DJs. Or you will consider bringing your family to this completely free event. I am from Maryland, home of the Ravens. Go Ravens! Go Orioles! However, I am packing up my boys and my husband, and we're driving down because I know that's going to be an incredible event, and we can't wait to get there. We also want to say thank you to our AM/FM 247 because what they have done for us, they've allowed us to be on so many different outlets like AM/FM radio stations across the United States that we now have listeners from Tampa, Florida, Las Vegas, Macon, Georgia, Lancaster, Boulder, Colorado, Richmond, and all over the place, Greenville, North Carolina, and even Milwaukee. So we love AM/FM 247 because they have enabled us to go to different countries. We are all over iTunes, Stitcher, and some of the other ones I've already named, and we're even in a few islands, and none of that will be possible just with us doing things on our own. As we grow, we continue to get more people interested in learning more about our network, and we also get more listeners. So that's the whole goal. And we're surveying our listeners. So if you never had a great reason, like going to maybehelpyouradio.com to download the app so you can listen to Uncuffed Radio every day, you definitely can get there and get your opinions heard and, you know, download and take our quick survey if you don't mind doing that for us and taking time out. And then lastly, we want to tell you about our first annual vendor show for the Yashua's House. And here, this is going to happen in March of 2016 at 10 a.m., and it's another showcasing of vendors and raffle tickets and just excitement. But all of the proceeds from this event is going directly to promote something that's very near and dear to my heart, and that's the prevention of domestic abuse.
We're going to provide direction, support, and housing for women in transition. So please come out and definitely go. All of that information will be on our website. So, Deb, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it is important to pay the bills. Otherwise, we couldn't continue this conversation. So when we took our break, you were beginning to talk about before you're writing. So as, you know, let's say I've done all the things you told me, and I know that you're speaking to the more tenured woman, the woman that is an entrepreneur or she is a business coach. So you like to coach the coaches. What are some critical things that matter to writing for that type of woman?
As you write, after you've set up that stage and done some of the things we talked about, like keeping it in your voice and writing as you speak, the other suggestions I have for people is to hit your main points first. So think about what are the things you want to cover in this article or training packet or piece for your website, and what are the main points. Some people actually like to write out an outline. I don't always do that in an outline format, but I might just jot down phrases or things to remind me of what I want to do. And sometimes it's just helpful to get those things down on paper or on your computer screen first, and then go back and fill in the details. So that's another important piece I find, is to hit those main points and even start writing them out a bit. But if you feel that you're getting a little hung up in the details, that those are the easy things to fill in later when you go back and edit. So you get all those main points, some detail, and if it's not flowing, it's hard to sit in front of a blank screen or a blank piece of paper for very long. And when people get really stuck, I suggest not to stay there too long, that if you can, just leave it alone and come back another time. That the more we struggle and kind of fight against it, the more negative an experience it becomes that we don't want to have to deal with again. So if it's not working, take a break, walk away, set another time in your schedule where you're going to come back and reset the stage again to get those words flowing.
I think that's so crucial. That is so interesting. When I wrote my first book, The Art of Listening, An Effective Guide to Communication, I said, you know what, I've developed some things in an interview interrogation room, so I'm going to give out to the world because they need to know. And that was great, but it was such a different experience than when I wrote Uncuffed Behind My Smile, when I was reliving experiences, traumatic experiences, and also, you know, deciding, am I going to be transparent about this piece? Am I going to talk about this piece? So when you do the things that Beth's telling you to do, listeners, be very clear that you don't even have to try to figure out what your voice is going to be, because it comes out so naturally. Mm-hmm. Now, Deb, what are the different things that your ideal client and my ideal client, that they have to consider, and maybe not a college student or someone who doesn't even have a family yet? You know, they're still kind of finding themselves. And if you could speak on what are some other considerations, how do we handle that?
As far as getting their writing done?
Yes.
Well, I think it's just important, whatever your message is that you want to get out and how to do it, is to, as we said, like to set the mindset to do it. Whether you're writing for yourself, whether you're writing to inform, whether you're writing to motivate and inspire, to really just focus on what that is. And that might be even for your listeners who don't write for business. They just write for themselves or feel they have a story they want to tell, even if it's just in journaling or writing, you know, in a therapeutic way, like journaling, to get some things out and on paper. It's kind of very validating for people to go through that process. So the same steps that apply to business writing can be used for just about any kind of writing to meet people's needs. So that's one of the things that I would suggest, and to not, as we said before, worry about your experience, your level of education, your years of practice or not with writing, that you get your message out and you can either edit it yourself or you can get some help to clean it up. It's hard to get help to actually write it from scratch because it's really difficult to keep your voice in it. if someone is doing all the writing for you. So at some point you have to, I believe, give them at least an outline or tidbits that is your way of conveying your message. And then you can have all sorts of professional help if you need it to get it done in a way that's more polished.
I
was just going to say that's where the real editing piece comes in, that you can do yourself, and we can talk about some of the ways to do your own editing if people are not
breaking it out. Yeah, I think that's great. But before we get into that, I just wanted to tell the listeners, go to Deb, debcoman.com, and that's coman.com. And what you'll see is you will almost see a glimpse of what she's speaking of, and that's very organized, very strategic. Being a web designer, I can see how it's just such a very professional site and it's very easy to follow. But the thing that's most catching to me is that you have this new concept that you're introducing to your clients and this whole piece on creative content creation package. Now, listeners, understand why this is so exciting to me. Because as a mentor for women in business, I know you guys are a wealth of information. You know so much. You don't need to be told anything. You're the problem solver. Deb and I, we get that. However, if you're not being held accountable and making things really happen for yourself, guess what's not going to happen? It's not going to happen. Your it is not going to happen. So Deb is going to help you with her with your creation and creativity. And I want you, Deb, to tell them, just give them a preview of what they could expect if they maybe don't necessarily need a coach or mentor, but, yeah, they do need help with their writing because they have something to say, but it just hasn't come out in, let's say, 15 or 20 years yet. So what can they expect in this? And then if you could surely talk about the next piece you were talking about before I interrupted.
Oh, sure. No, that's fine. The creative content creation is really a lot of fun, and it can apply to just about anything that you want to create in your business or in your life. People often have some great ideas or back burner projects, and as you said, without some assistance or maybe it's the accountability piece, it just stays on the back burner, and they just maybe don't have enough feedback to push it through to get it to be out there into the world. And that's what we do in the creative content creation package is, and it's often through Skype. I like to be able to see people if we can, because it just seems a little bit easier to converse that way, but it can also be on the phone, where we talk out your idea and basically brainstorm it and anticipate any potential roadblocks or problems, problem solve it, and collaboratively create it, where you get some feedback from me not only on the actual, whether it's a product or a program or a service that you want to create, what are the other pieces that you need to put in place, how you might want to tweak it a little bit or change it, and as well as how to make it more marketable. So it's one thing to have an idea and to get it out into the world, and it's another to have that idea sell and bring you more business. And that's what we do through this process. And then I can help do the writing or the editing of any actual content that needs to be done as related to that. And it's really quite fun. It's done in packages because maybe you have a real small product or project that's only going to take a couple of hours, or maybe it's going to be a little longer term and we're going to do it over the course of a couple of months. And people have had some real great success with ideas that they've had for a long, long time, and after a few short sessions, they have a product that they're selling.
Oh, okay. Love, 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 love it. Okay, we're going to hang on to you. You're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear our final words from Ms. Deb Coman, and she's going to give us that final icing on the cake, so you want to stay tuned. If you are not even in a position where you're thinking about writing a story yet, you guys know how important I think it is to tell your story. I want you to stay tuned because she's getting you ready, like she said, before you even write that first word. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sherelle of Fit and Flow Yoga Radio. Wake up with me every Friday at 6 a.m. and have a wonderful yoga experience. We'll explore meditation, and discuss how various yoga postures can help relieve your everyday stress. We'll also make the connection between our faith and wellness. Follow us on Spreaker.com to tune into the show. That's Spreaker, Spreaker.com. And also search MWHY Radio to join me every Friday at 6 a.m. for Fit and Flow Yoga Radio with Sherelle. And until next time, surrender to your strength and always embrace your flow.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is happy to announce our partnership with the May We Help You Radio Network. You can now catch the rebroadcast of our Wednesday show every Thursday at 6 p.m. That's Tanya Free and Friends, the podcast, every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. We welcome your comments and opinions 24/7 at TanyaFree.com, Facebook and Twitter, or send me a text by texting the word Tanya, that's 72727. Tanya Free and Friends, and May We Help You Radio. Living life with a purpose.
Hi, this is Benita with Off the Vine. Join us on Fridays at 3 o'clock for fun talk about wine. This season, I'm going to put this little sommelier certification to work as we expand the conversation to talk about beer and spirits too. Meet more exciting special guests, and you never know just who may show up at the studio. Off the Vine with Benita on the May We Help You Radio Network, giving you something to whine about.
If you're the parent of a child with behavioral challenges that has been suspended, expelled, or just not able to make it in a traditional school setting, there is an alternative. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Licensed and accredited grades K through 12, call 804-321-2595. Financial assistance and after-school programs are available. Let's turn this school year around right now at the Metropolitan Day School, where Eagles soar. Call Ms. Thomas today, 804-321-2595.
And welcome back. This is Uncuffed Radio, only on the May We Help You Radio Network. And this is Capri Smith, your Uncuffed Living Expert. And I am here having a conversation with the awesome Ms. Deb Coleman, who's just so highly polished and professional. And she's telling us, but she's also a lot of fun, but she's telling us all about writing from a perspective that we don't really think about, and that is how to write. Just like speaking, we all have something to say, but you don't want to say it and then lose all credibility or all interest because you didn't say it in the right way. Deb is slowing us down and hitting on some really important factors when it comes to writing and sharing your voice, your authentic voice. So welcome back, Deb. How are you? And as she's coming back, we're going to recapture some of the ideas she shared. And a few of those were setting the atmosphere and creating your environment so that you can pull out what you want to pull out. She also talked about getting it out. Just write it. Don't get stuck on the title. Don't get stuck on what words should come next. Get it all out. And she's going to really get into the editing piece as we move forward. So I want to bring Deb back. Are you there, Deb?
Yes, I am, Caprice. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm excited about this last piece because I love doing things on my own, and when you tell me how to do it the right way on my own, I start doing cartwheels. So tell our listening audience and our women who, like me, because they tend to think they have a lot of empirical knowledge, they don't need to be told what to do. They will try to do things on their own. But give us some tools that's really going to help us do that, but not strip away our professionalism.
Sure, absolutely. And I'm sure, like you probably have a lot of listeners, who don't get hung up on the writing. So for those who find that setting the stage and getting the words flowing just easy, that's great. And then hopefully this piece will help them look at how to self-edit. Because I, too, am one who likes to do a lot by myself. I like to learn as much as I can and try my hand at it myself first. And we can do that with our editing. When we finish writing whatever that piece is, the first thing I suggest is that you read the whole thing out loud without stopping. So we're still not editing, even though we're moving to that editing phase. We're just going to read it all the way through. And that's a way to really see if things are flowing nicely, if it's making sense, if your words sound the way you want them to sound. And then you can go back and look at some of those things we looked at in the beginning of asking yourself the questions of, did you write to answer the question you wanted answered? Did you write to the audience you were hoping to reach? Did you hit all your main points? So you look at it again and ask yourself those things and whether it flows in the right order. Sometimes we get everything we want out, but now that it's in front of us on paper or on the computer, we realize we don't love the order of it. So this is the time to now reorder areas in a progressive way that makes the most sense for the reader, not for us. And it's important to put ourselves in the reader's shoes, because we know what we want to say and we know what our message is, but we want this piece to reach other people. So we need to be careful not to use a lot of jargon and to spell out things that we are not sure that all the readers know, in the way that a lot of times we like to use acronyms for things that we think everyone knows what it means, and maybe they don't. So be sure to give your definitions or give your background so that the new introduction-level person can understand it as well as someone who's been in the field that you're writing about. And then I just suggest to keep reading it. So as you're doing some of these little edits, to go back and read it again. You can print it out if you've been doing it online. It's really helpful to print it out and look at the hard copy. And often there are some suggestions about changing the font on the whole piece or change the way it looks in some way so that your brain is forced to look at it like something more new. And it helps us to really get a different eye when we're looking at that piece. And then if need be, you can always get some help to actually do the editing. But there's a lot really at our own fingertips. We can use spell check, and we should. We should look up words if we're not sure. We should really just go back over and over till we feel really confident that we've made it as good as it can be. And some suggest reading your piece backwards is another thing, to look for typos or errors and that. And then to ask someone, even just someone in your home, to read your piece for you. And it can be your child or your spouse or your friend. It doesn't have to be someone in your field. And it's actually even better if they're not, because they're going to be some fresh eyes and a fresh perspective.
I love it. It's like great information, and it's so practical. I'm thinking, okay, so my ideal client, she's probably on the soccer field, and she worked all week. How is she supposed to fit this in to keep reading and re-editing, I mean, reading out loud and having people read it? But really, it's things that are very easily implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some of the dangers if you don't do some of the tips you're giving us? What are the dangers?
Well, it depends on where that work is going. And sometimes people, when they're doing a new training program, the first training manual or workbook might not be perfect. It might have typos. And that some people will be very forgiving, and that's fine. But some may not. So to not do some of these things could hurt your business. It certainly can on your website, because if it's not engaging enough or interesting or looking professional, people hesitate sometimes to want to do business in that arena. They're not sure if you have as much expertise as you might be saying you have. They might think, well, don't they have time to go back or have someone help them with the way their website looks or the way they're writing their information? So we can kind of allay all those fears if we put the work in on the front end with all of this, and really take our time to make sure that our written word represents us the way we want to be represented.
I love that. The written word and the complete sentences, because I'm telling you, tweeting and hashtagging and all of those things, they become a part of our everyday vernacular, and we'll find ourselves. I'm telling you, I can remember being at a professional study. It was a professional meeting, and one of the speakers actually said hashtag, and not in the context that they were painting the picture. So it kind of not shocked me, but it really took me back, because I was used to seeing that and talking about it among friends. But to get his point out, he said hashtag
I'm like, no. So I love that you've taken time away from your busy schedule. Now tell the listeners who I'm sure will want to connect with you. And I have a lot of authors who listen. Tell them, because a lot of them are thinking, editing, expensive. Editing, oh, God, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I'm there yet.
Yes.
Tell them why it's important to connect with you early. And how can they connect with you?
Yes, it is important. And you can get editing at just about any level of expense. And in some cases, you can pay a lot less and it'll be fine. And in some cases, you're going to get what you pay for. I mean, there's just different levels of expertise as far as proofreaders and developmental editors. And there's different levels who are going to help you just by merely proofreading for grammatical errors or typos versus helping you with the content. And I do the full range based on what people need. And sometimes it's not so much the punctuation as it is the overall message. And my goal when I work with people is to help you get that piece as good as it can be, but also doing what you want it to do. If it's to help bring in more business, then that's how I'm going to look at it and ask the questions of, is this going to do that? Is it going to convert to business for you? And you made a good point, Caprice, about the way people use social media and some of the flexibility with their or informality with their wording. And that can be okay to a point, because sometimes that is who people are. And that won't necessarily drive away business. I just think you have to put some thought into how and where you're going to do that. So incomplete sentences might be okay. Maybe that's the way you would be conversing. But a lot of really simple, easily fixed grammatical errors or typos are not always okay when it comes to putting your best foot forward. And people can find me if they'd like to hear more about these tips. A lot of what we talked about today is part of my free gift to people if they are interested in signing up on my website and subscribing to get more tips about writing and editing. And bringing their business forward. They can do that right at debcoman.com, and they'll right away get my three-part piece called Ready, Set, Write that will give them a lot of the tips we talked about today and a few more.
Love, love, love it. Ready, Set, Write. And this has been Deb Coman, and that's C-O-M-A-N. Please visit her website, like her social media, and just stay connected, because you see in such a short time, she's really given us some refining techniques that I know from this point moving forward I won't be able to live without. So get to know her and connect. And you've been very awesome today, Deb. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much, Caprice. It was great talking with you today.
Absolutely. So we are going to say goodbye to Deb. Thank you so much. And we're going to transition into our next piece. It's actually a newer segment of Uncuffed Radio. And essentially what it's called is the Queen's Quarters. And what we mean is we're getting up close and personal with our queens, our women in business who are stretching their brands in a different way, and they are celebrating their accomplishments by showcasing them to panels, and but also by showing the fun side of themselves. Now, let me explain what I mean. Before I found Miss Corporate America, I was not aware of any pageant that would shine the spotlight on women in business. And being a police detective, and after several years, and a mom, and getting into the routine of everyday life of running my business, I just didn't think I had room on my plate for another thing. But then I stumbled across Miss Corporate America pageant, and I fell in love with it. One, because it was able to not just showcase me in a beautiful dress and parading around on the stage, but I was able to make connections with like-minded women who were very serious about their business and very serious about networking and supporting each other. In addition, it gave me an opportunity to fly to SeaWorld, fly to Florida now every year. So what happened is I ended up becoming Miss Corporate America 2014, and most recently I've been crowned Miss Corporate America Ambassador. And I'm so in love with the pageant because our queens, we serve our community, we are women in business, we are women at the corporate level that are maintaining, and on top of everything else, we're still wearing that crown. So I'm so in love with the Miss Corporate America pageant for what it stands for. But one of the things I wanted to do is to give the women who might compete in it or women who may have already competed in it a chance to share their experiences and tidbits. Now, today's guest is not necessarily
a pageant sister from Miss Corporate America. She comes from a different pageant. However, she is a winning queen. And I wanted her to come on because I know how important it is, and I know what it means to find the perfect gown and that perfect suit for the interview. Outside of actually going through it, I had no idea that there were certain elements that were very necessary in both the gown and the interview. So what I want you guys to do is help me welcome the awesome Miss Jules J, Miss Exquisite International 2013. Welcome, Queen. How are you?
Hello. Good morning.
Great day. I'm so glad that, you know, you gave time for the peasants. You know, you stopped being a queen for a few minutes and you showed up for us. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. It's awesome to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure, sure. Now, the first thing I want you to talk about, because you're such a fashionista, I follow you, I love the way you dress, and this, you have this cute petite figure, but I also call you when I can't find the perfect outfit that's going to accentuate my curvaceous figure. So now tell the listening queens who may not be the ideal, you know, the size you would see in a magazine, how they should look for and find that perfect gown and why it's so important.
I think that how they should go about looking for that perfect gown is what speaks to them, what they like, what on themselves that accentuates their personality, what brings their personality out. And identifying a gown that speaks to that is what will win you that crown. And I think that's what's so important when you're looking for a gown, and how you work that gown when you're on stage, when you're walking the runway, I think is important. Your personality should come out. The gown should help to just accentuate who you are as a person.
I love it. Now, a lot of people may think, oh, the more bling, the better. Or if it's not $10,000 and I didn't have to sell my house to buy it, it's not going to win. Talk to them, please. Tell them to settle down.
Well, that's funny because my gown was very inexpensive that I won, and I actually won both pageants that I was in with. I don't think it's the cost that is what wins the crown. It's really how you wear it, and again, how it speaks to who you are, because your confidence is within, right? But the gown, it just helps to accentuate that. So I think that it doesn't matter the cost. Is what color looks good on you, what type of gown, whether it's A-line, whether it's a flowy type gown, whether it's mermaid style type gown. I think it's what speaks to your body type, and how you work that gown is what really helps you to win that crown.
I love it. You got to work that gown. So now, is there a specific material that we should focus in on, or what do you mean by working the gown? I know how to work the gown, I'm just saying, but someone listening may not. So tell them what that means.
Well, for instance, the gown that I wore was a A-line type gown, very flowy, so I could actually hold it out or work it and move it around. And as I turned and twirled, it would flow and move as I walked. And that really spoke to who I am because I'm very much a free spirit. So something just that speaks to who you are. If you wear a mermaid style gown, keep in mind your body style. Wearing the appropriate foundation garments is very important. And just knowing that you look good, of course, try on the gown before you wear it to make sure it fits appropriately. If you need to get any additions or anything done to the gown to make it look right on you. The color, know what colors work with your skin, with your complexion. The one thing that I really enjoyed about the particular pageant that I was in is that it was for women of all different backgrounds, shapes, heights. It didn't matter what you look like. Knowing you're involved in a pageant like that, you have to bring your best. You have to bring your A game. Wear what you know looks good on you. Wear the colors that you know looks good on you. And if you don't really know, hire somebody or talk to friends. You know, a lot of times outside input helps. People let you know, okay, I think this color looks really well on you. Try it on, you know, just to see what it looks like and to give you an idea of what you'll look like on the stage.
I love it. So maybe practicing it in the mirror. What about colors? Do colors matter?
I think bright colors really speaks to the audience. They can see you, especially for women of color. I think that those colors just speak to the audience. They can see you. They welcome that in. You don't want anything to drown out your skin complexion. You want something to be bright and even if it's more of a conservative color like a black or maybe even a silver or a gray, you want something maybe more embellishment, something that, you know, is kind of loud, something that is a pageant. You go all out on a pageant. You know, you're not too conservative on a pageant, only, of course, in the interview. But, you know, on a pageant, when you're wearing a gown, you want it to speak out and be loud, you know, not too loud, not too crazy, nothing crazy, of course, but you want to make sure that it looks good and, you know, you stand out and the judges remember who you are. Oh, yes, I remember her because she was able to work that gown the way it fit her body style. So I think that's very important.
Love it. I think you're so on point. I've tried so many times to get the perfect gown. There's always a story surrounding it. If you have not heard my stories yet about my gowns and the pageant, you definitely need to connect with me on some. I'm actually speaking about the pageant on the Live, Learn, and Leave a Legacy tour, so I'll be sharing my stories there. In addition, if you go to capricesmith.com, you can join the newsletter. I share my stories. There's some really interesting and funny things that have happened with me in gowns, and Jules, you know this firsthand, so I think this is great information. Now, moving a little bit from the gowns to something that's probably more important, and that's the interview suit. What is the deal with the suit? What do? Does it have to be corporate? Should it be flashy? What do?
A lot of times when we think of an interview suit, we think more conservative. We think, you know, that it has to be more of a dark conservative color. You think corporate. You think you're going out and doing an interview in terms of getting a job. Well, it's not the same. You definitely want to stay conservative, of course, but in terms of the color, it doesn't have to be a darker color. If that's what works for you, that's great. But a lot of times we think that because we're thinking job interview, but it's a little different from a job interview, of course. This is a pageant. You want to look your best. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a suit. When I did my interviews, I actually wore a dress, and it was a red dress. A red peplum dress. And again, it just spoke to my personality. Red is my favorite color. So it spoke to who I am. So I wore it very confidently. And that's the key, I think, is wearing something that helps to bring out that confidence in you, that courage in you, that, you know, makes you feel good about yourself. Because, of course, when you feel good about yourself, you exude that to the people that you're talking to. And that's what's very important. And picking your interview dress is, you know, picking something that makes you feel even more confident, that brings out that confidence in you. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be a suit. And what I mean by suit is a jacket and a skirt. It can even be a pantsuit. But again, make sure that pantsuit or skirt or dress speaks to who you are. And, of course, the appropriate accessories just set things off for you. I think a lot of times, you know, we think about doing these pageants, we think about doing it by ourselves. I encourage you to seek someone who may have been in a pageant before, and that can help you with identifying what best suits you in terms of what to wear for your gown and as well as your interview suit. And that's what I did. I hired a pageant coach because I felt that was important to have. I had no knowledge of pageantry prior to being in a pageant. And so I, of course, needed some help. And so I hired a pageant coach. Well, she was awesome. The great, 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 great Adrienne Watson Carver was my pageant coach. So, you know, she helped me, and she helped me to win. So because you bring your best, you bring your A game, like I said before, to a pageant.
First of all, the great, 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 great Adrienne Watson Carver is everything. So definitely that is key, which we definitely need to get into coaching and how important that is. And she definitely helped me too. She was my coach as well. So I think she just breeds winners. What do you think? I think she breeds winners.
I do. I think so too. I mean, she is who she is. I mean, she's just awesome. Mm-hmm. So I truly appreciate her. And that's the other thing, you know, surrounding yourself with, you know, positive, encouraging women. I mean, Adrienne was my pageant coach, but I had several other women that that assisted me and helped me with the whole process, that because I had no idea what I was doing. And I think that's important. And one of the reasons why I even did a pageant was just to come outside of my comfort zone. I felt that it would be a great challenge for me because I'm sort of an introvert to some degree, but I'm a little on the quieter side somewhat. And so I just kind of wanted to bring myself outside of what I was used to. So I decided to do the pageant. And both times I did the pageant, I won. So, you know, it was an awesome experience. And I encourage any woman who's looking for a challenge, who's looking for something different to do, who has some interest in being in a pageant, I think that they should do it. I mean, when I think of pageant, I only would think of Miss USA or, you know, Miss America. But there's so many different pageant systems out there. And the pageant system that I was a part of is Exquisite Pageants. Oh, which, by the way, there's an upcoming pageant, and they are still accepting candidates, and the website to go to is exquisitepageants.com. The pageant will be held on May 3rd at Best Western. And so I just wanted to give Ms. Stacey Roberts, who's the director of that particular pageant, a shout out. So it was great. Again, you know, it just really speaks to who you are. You just allow yourself to be free and allow yourself to, you know, identify with these other women in this pageant and just, you know, establishing yourself and establishing what your platform is.
Awesome. Jules, thank you so much for stopping through and hanging out with us a little bit today. And any final thoughts or how can we connect with you more?
Yes, you can reach me on Facebook, Jules J. I just want to say, again, you know, the importance of, you know, just picking that right gown and that right interview suit to speak to who you are and to allow yourself to bring that confidence out and just give the world who you are. So I leave you.
Awesome. Thank you. And just so you guys know that the Miss Corporate America pageant is happening every March in SeaWorld, but we have this awesome essay contest. So if you're thinking, oh, I want to do it, but I don't really have the budget right now, you can actually enter this essay contest for $25, and you could be the next Mrs. Corporate America. And you guys know I love all pageants, but I especially love the Miss Corporate America pageant because it's the one pageant that shines the spotlight on remarkable women in business. So for me, I'm thinking stretching your brand, networking, meeting new people, build your business, build your empire, build your legacy. So Jules, thank you so much. And I think we have Ms. Deb Coleman coming back in for some final thoughts. This great show today. I'm so excited about today's show. Ms. Deb, are you there?
Yes, I am, Caprice.
Awesome. Welcome back.
Thank you. That was great. I think. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Any final thoughts?
Yes, I just want to say that, as Jules was saying, how we dress up for the world really brings us confidence. And it's how we present ourselves. And the same can be true for our writing, as we talked about earlier. I just want all your listeners to remember that we're all writers. We all have a message. We all have a gift to share. And that we should think it, we should write it, and we should make it happen. And if I can help anybody do that, they can get a hold of me through my website, and I'd be happy to connect further.
Love it. Thank you so much for chiming in. Well, listeners, we've reached that point of our show where we're just about done. But before I go, remember, I'm a retired cop who has turned into Mrs. Corporate America, Miss Corporate America Ambassador, running my own business, have a nonprofit. So I've learned some things about business. And what I've done is I've created this 24-hour Uncuffed Teller Summit, where I bring in other people just like me who are doing it, and we're willing to teach you guys how to do it. We're going to accept you guys. We're going to be your field training officers. And within 24 hours, every day in May at noon and the first week of June, we're going to give you the opportunity to get the tools and the know-how that we already have. We want you to uncuff. So the premise is, in law enforcement, you have 24 hours to either arrest someone or set them free, you know, without charges. With the 24-hour Uncuffed Teller Summit, we're going to give you all the tools you need so you decide to either set yourself free or just stay in that place where you are, like, not growing or not growing at the pace that you want to grow. So if you want more information about that, go to capricesmith.com. And as always, I'll give you listeners' treats for showing up. If you go there and by midnight tonight, if you mention or if you say this slogan or tweet me this slogan, hashtag 24 hours to uncuff, I promise you
$50 off your registration, whether you're joining field training or the academy. As always, we'll be back every Saturday at 10 Eastern Standard Time to uncuff you, because if you are not living uncuffed, you are just not living, and your clients will know. So until next time, have an awesome day.